We shall turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5. And we will read from verse 1 to verse 3. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus gives the Beatitudes. The word beatitude means blessing. And so those who are blessed are basically beatified. They are blessed. They have the beatitudes. They have the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus blesses those who have certain characteristics. The word blessed indeed occurs nine times, but the character of those who are blessed is described in seven descriptions. There are seven qualities of those who are blessed. Seven qualities that receive the blessing of the Lord. And the remaining two blessings are given to those who suffer for righteousness' sake. They suffer, they are persecuted for Christ, but their condition, the condition of their soul, is the same as the first seven. So those who are persecuted are the ones who are the poor and the mourning and the meek and the peacemakers and so on. So the character of the persecuted is the same, and they receive the same blessings. In fact, the same blessing that is given to the poor in spirit is given to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and that is, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They have the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and there are seven characters, seven qualities, and seven represents perfection. It is the number of completeness. So what do we have here? Seven qualities. We have the complete character of the child of God. We're not to think that some of God's children are merciful and some others are meek and some others are poor in spirit and so on, but they all have this character. They all have these graces, at least in principle. Some graces may be more pronounced in others than the rest, but they all have this, and this is what all are to strive for. All of the qualities that receive these particular blessings. And it is true that some of these graces may be more pronounced in a child of God at some times of his or her life than at other times, but this is describing the complete character of those who have grace, poor in spirit, mourners, meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and so on. But again, there's a blessing attached to each one. Every one of these seven graces have a blessing attached, and so we have seven blessings given to seven qualities, and what we have there is the perfect blessedness of the child of God. All those who are godly in Christ Jesus have the blessing of the Lord. Who would not want to be blessed by the Lord Jesus? You may feel this Sabbath morning that you have nothing, but if this is a true sense of spiritual poverty, the Lord Jesus says you're blessed. And you have the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as the Lord may be pleased to help us this Sabbath morning, we will notice two things. Basically two things, and that is the first part of the text, or rather the part after the word blessed, those who are poor in spirit, and secondly, the blessing of the kingdom of heaven. In the first part, we want to consider both the nature and the necessity of spiritual poverty. What is this being poor in spirit? It's spiritual poverty. We want to consider what it is and why it's important. The nature and necessity of spiritual poverty. And in the second place, the blessing or blessedness of this spiritual poverty. It receives a beatitude. It is a quality that receives the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that produces in us this character, this gracious character, this spiritual poverty. And so let us pray that the Spirit of God would work among us and in us, that we might know what it is to be poor in spirit, that we might be assured also that ours is the kingdom of heaven. The spiritual poverty of the believer, both the nature and the necessity of this spiritual poverty, and then the blessedness of spiritual poverty. First of all, the nature of it and the necessity of it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Do we know what it is to be poor in spirit? When Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," surely this should get our attention. Surely we should want to know who are the ones who are blessed. If this congregation were divided in between the blessed and the unblessed, well, how many would be blessed? How many would not be? How many are truly poor in spirit? Who are not? Are you among the poor in spirit? Or are you kind of full and you don't know what spiritual poverty is? Notice how the Lord doesn't say, "Blessed are the rich, blessed are the wealthy." He doesn't say, "Blessed are the great and famous, people who make the headlines every day." No, he doesn't say, "Blessed are the self-confident, blessed are the clever, blessed are the gifted and talented, and those who make a name for themselves in the world." No, they're not the blessed ones. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ knows all things. He knows the character of every one of us, and he knows the special character of his own people, what they're like. They who know what it is to be truly poor in their souls, these are the ones who have grace, and they're blessed. And ironically, they are those who have nothing in themselves. And they know this and they feel this because they have been taught by the Lord. They are poor in spirit. Those who are spiritually empty, having nothing good of themselves. Now, we need to know from the outset what the Lord is not teaching. As we already mentioned, he's not saying, "Blessed are the rich, blessed are the famous, blessed are the talented." No, blessed are the poor in spirit. But notice that he doesn't say, "Blessed are the base." The poor in spirit are not those who have a base spirit. We just want to point this out because some might think that they're poor in spirit, and this applies to them because they claim nothing good. They are so poor, they can't help themselves, so they follow a life of sin. They pursue nothing good. They might say, "I'm a poor sinner. What can you expect?" So they fall into fornication. They might shoplift and live a life of open sin, careless and negligent. Well, that character does not fit this description. The Lord Jesus is not describing a base spirit. Those are foolish people. They are blinded. They're unhumbled. And sometimes they may be among the most self-righteous people, even though they live a life of open sin. What they need is a saving change. What they need is a new heart. They must repent of their wickedness, or they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Let's not forget the other qualities of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. doesn't mean that they're perfect and sinless, but they desire a pure heart and they endeavor to live a holy life. I remember John Bunyan was once asked about some things in heaven. What is it like in heaven? And John Bunyan said, I don't know, but go live a holy life and you'll find out. Now, those who are on the way to heaven, they seek holiness. They pursue holiness. They're not perfectly holy, but they are trying, and they want to live unto righteousness. So the Lord is not saying that those who have a base spirit, foolish, unhumbled, and living a life of sin are blessed, but those who are poor in spirit. And he's not saying that those who are outwardly poor are blessed. Not everyone who is outwardly poor and have very little income or hardly anything at all are blessed. Just as we cannot say, and we would never say, that all rich people are evil. Far from it. There may be some who are outwardly rich, but they are poor in spirit. And there may be some poor people who are as wicked as any rich person who ever lived. So the Lord is not commending outward poverty as if there was something inherently blessed about that condition. But it has been suggested that since the Lord's people are often indeed found among the poor, that they have been described this way. The Lord's people are among the poor and downtrodden of the earth. That is true. There's not many wise and noble and famous who are called, but God has called the poor of the earth and those who are despised. Many of these are the ones who have been saved. Not all of them, of course, but you look at the Lord's people and quite a number of them are among the poor. And so God's people have been therefore given the designation of poor for partly from that reason. But the Lord Jesus does say in Luke chapter 6, in a sermon that is very similar, if not the very same one summarized, chapter 6 and verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. As if even the outwardly poor are blessed. But if that's the case, it is, of course, because they have been made poor for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Or they are willing to accept the low condition that God has ordained for them in this life, and they're not grumbling about it. Jesus says, you may be poor outwardly, but you're really blessed if you're following me, because you have eternal riches. So we need to lay this to heart, that sometimes following the Lord Jesus Christ does lead us into poverty. If we have to give up our employment, for example, to serve the Lord Jesus because we're not willing to compromise in our work, or we might even have to lose our possessions or even our very life for Christ's sake in order to consistently adhere to the Lord Jesus consistently with our outward condition. We may be forced to give up many things in order to cleave to the Lord and follow him fully. But the Lord is saying, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They may be outwardly poor, and God doesn't despise them for that. In fact, he favors them, not because they're poor, but because they follow him. And yes, their poverty does often evoke the pity of God toward them. But clearly, it is spiritual poverty that the Lord Jesus is speaking of here. They are poor in spirit. They are poor in their frame of heart. As one says, they are those who, in their deepest consciousness, feel their entire need. Deep inside them, they are spiritually empty, empty of any good thing of themselves. They are spiritually helpless. They are like those that we read of in Psalm 72. They have no help of man at all. They can't help themselves. Man cannot help them. There's nothing human that will deliver them from their dire condition. What they need is the grace of God. They need the favor of God, the mercy of God in Christ. So they are deeply conscious of their true need, and that is God's help, God's grace. And this brings us to make an important point that what Jesus speaks of in these gracious qualities that are blessed, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, these characteristics are derived from the Old Testament scriptures. And it is in the Psalms that you read of the poor and the needy. You read about the meek that will inherit the earth. And the merciful, and so on. And so the Lord Jesus, using terms and descriptions of character from the Old Testament, shows that the Old Testament and the New Testament are one, essentially, in regard to God's grace and the salvation of man. The Old and New Testaments are one. So the people of God that receive God's blessings, they have the same characteristics today as they did in Old Testament times. The Lord uses the same descriptions to point out those who receive the blessing of the Lord. They are poor and needy. They are spiritually poor. They are void of everything that is truly good. That is of themselves. It's not denying God's grace. They may recognize the grace of God, and that should be recognized. When God has given us mercy and pardon for our sins and love to him and desire to obey him and faithfulness to his cause, of course we should recognize these graces. Paul certainly did. He labored more abundantly than the apostles. But still he called himself less than the least of all saints. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" So he recognizes indeed the grace of God in him and what God has done by him, but in himself he remains poor in spirit, void of all that is spiritually good. This is what believers feel, while others don't feel that, even though they are poor, objectively. People in the world, people are not converted. They're just as poor in a sense. They have nothing of themselves. All that they have done is by God's help and God's gifts to them. So they are poor objectively. God sees them to be truly poor. They have nothing at all. But they don't see their poverty. They're still blind to it. So they're not poor in spirit. They are not poor in their consciousness. They're not conscious of their poverty. Well, what about ourselves again? Are we poor in spirit? Are we conscious of our spiritual poverty? Do we feel in our souls we have nothing good of ourselves? Those who are spiritually poor, they have a sense of need. They are deeply conscious of their entire need. They recognize their poor condition. They recognize that they're in need of many things. They need Christ. They need grace. They need repentance. They need faith. They need salvation. They're conscious of needing many things. So they have a sense of need. But they also recognize some things that they wish they didn't have. They recognize the evils within them. You think of a very poor person, outwardly poor, has no money or very little money, yet lives in a house. Because there's no money, there's no ability to repair the house. And so this is a very poor person who not only misses many things, but also is conscious of other things that makes his or her life miserable. Things are falling apart all around the house. The paint is flaking off the walls. The windows are broken. The poor person is conscious of many evils, or if to call them that, natural evils, many things that are difficult, hard, and unpleasant. Rats are coming through the holes in the floor, and insects are crawling everywhere. This poor person is very conscious that there's a lot of things in this house that he or she wishes were not there. So the poor in spirit are conscious not only of things they don't have, but they are conscious of the evils they don't want, they wish were not there. They are conscious of their sins, conscious of many failings, shortcomings, many things in their attitude and actions that they know God is not pleased with. They have much corruption in their nature. They have many evils in their hearts. Out of the heart proceed evil things, evil thoughts, murders, fornications, thefts, blasphemies, and so on that Jesus speaks of. It all comes from the heart, and the poor in spirit are conscious of the evils that are in the heart. And this makes them miserable. This makes their existence not happy. That is true. They see the evils that are there. If the light is shining in us, we're going to see things we don't like if we're being enlightened by the Holy Spirit with grace in our hearts. But you see, that's the beginning of the riches of grace that we'll go on to notice. So the poor person, the spiritually poor person, those who are poor in spirit, they have a sense of need. They're conscious of evils that they wish were not there. They have a sense of the guilt of their sins. All of these sins, this corruption within them and their sinful thoughts, words, and actions make them guilty. And by nature, they are guilty. They are liable to eternal wrath and misery. Are we conscious of that at all? Are we being enlightened in the knowledge of our sinfulness, convinced of our sin and misery? We are transgressors of the law. We deserve eternal wrath. Well, how we should pray that the Spirit would convince us of this, give us spiritual light and illumination, showing us our evils and showing us our guilt, showing us that we are unworthy to receive any good thing from God. Those who are poor in spirit have a sense of their demerit. They have no merit. They have nothing good by which to earn the favor of God. They are unworthy of the least of the mercies of God. They feel their great need. They feel their need of the righteousness of Christ. Because they have no righteousness of their own, they see that. They have nothing, nothing of themselves, no merit, no righteousness. They need the righteousness of Christ. Is that you today? Are you saying in your soul, that's what I need? I see my sins. I see I have nothing of spiritual worth, no merit. I need the righteousness of Christ. Lord, fill me with this. Lord, cover me with the righteousness of Christ. So they have a need. They need the pardon of their sins. They need the precious blood of Christ. They need the Holy Spirit to work faith in them so that they would receive the spiritual gifts and blessings of the Lord. They would receive the righteousness of Christ. They need the Holy Spirit to enable them to receive the Lord Jesus and life and salvation by him. So that is something of the nature of this spiritual poverty, what it is. We hope to say a few more things about it. But let us recognize how necessary this spiritual poverty is. This consciousness of our entire need. We cannot expect the blessedness of the kingdom of God without it. Without this spiritual poverty. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, except ye be converted and be as little children. You must become as little children to receive the kingdom of God. A child is dependent. A child is helpless. I'm talking about a very, very little child. And so as little children, we must be totally dependent upon God, totally dependent upon his grace, the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. All that we need, all the blessings of salvation, even outward things, all that we need must come from God. All that we have even now has come from him. Of ourselves, we are destitute. We are poor and needy. And it is essential that we have this spiritual poverty in order to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God. David Brown puts it this way, this self-emptying conviction that before God we are void of everything, lies at the foundation of all spiritual excellence according to the teaching of Scripture. So the conviction that we are empty, we are void of everything good, that is absolutely essential to receiving the spiritual blessings of the Lord. The spiritual emptiness prepares the way to receive grace. Grace comes to us when we feel empty. Strength in our hearts is preceded by felt weakness. This poverty prepares us for the blessing. Spiritual poverty, spiritual emptiness, the feeling of being void of anything spiritually good makes room for the grace of God. It's when we come to an end of ourselves that we receive the blessedness of grace. When grace works, it brings us to an end of ourselves. When the Lord works faith in us, we are emptied of self, because faith is a self-emptying grace. We're looking away from self to receive Christ and his grace. How necessary it is to be poor in spirit. To be emptied of self, to be emptied of self-merit, to be emptied of self-righteousness. That is absolutely necessary to receive the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. Do we see this? Are we seeing our spiritual poverty? There are some who are self-confident. They are full of their own resources. They are self-righteous. They are not spiritually poor. They are not empty of their own merit. They're relying on themselves like the Pharisees. They trusted to themselves that they were righteous. They were the Jews going about to establish their own righteousness. They thought they could contribute to some kind of righteousness as the foundation of acceptance with God, something of their own. It's when we see we have nothing of our own, that we are void of any merit, that we're looking away to the only righteousness that will make us acceptable to God, and that's the righteousness of Christ. Those who boast of their own merit or their own accomplishments cannot expect the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. It was the publican who said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," who was justified rather than the other. The other was the Pharisee. Thanking God, he was not as other men are. He was leaning on his own righteousness, and he was not justified. So those who are self-righteous, they are excluding themselves from the blessings of the kingdom. Those who are leaning on an arm of flesh, those who lean upon their own strength to make progress in the kingdom of God, they're relying on themselves, shutting themselves up to their own resources. They're excluding themselves, shutting themselves out of the blessing of the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The church has to lay this lesson to heart. All of us need to be reminded for our own establishment in the faith and progress in the ways of the Lord. Remember the church in Laodicea. Jesus rebukes and condemns this church, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." I don't need anything. That's what the church was saying. Was there spiritual poverty there? Were they poor in spirit? The answer is no. "Because thou sayest," this is what they even said. It's not only what they felt, it's what they were basically saying with their attitudes and lives, perhaps even verbally, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Is that you today? "I don't need this. I have it all figured out. I have need of nothing." No, you would never tell your neighbor that or the preacher that, but you feel that. Even the church, even those who profess the true religion, even God's people may fall into this sin. But they're carnally secure. They're deceived. It's a delusion. And Jesus says, "This is what you're saying. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not. You don't even know. You're still blind. Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You don't even see it because you're blind. You don't have the things that will make you pleasing in the eyes of God. You're destitute, you're naked, you're bare. You don't have what is truly spiritually good. You're poor and you don't even know it. That's a fearful place to be in. May the Lord open the eyes of each one of us that we would see we have nothing good of ourselves, no merit, no righteousness of our own, that we might be brought to an end of ourselves and be brought to trust in, rely upon the righteousness of Christ and go to God that we might be spiritually enlightened and go to Him for grace in our souls, gold tried in the fire, that we may be rich, and white raiment, that we may be clothed, and the shame of our nakedness do not appear, and anoint our eyes with eye salve, that we may see. If we say that we see, we know everything, then Jesus says your sin remains. But if you say you're blind, then you would have no sin. You're on the way to receiving grace and more grace. We need to recognize that by nature we know nothing. We need to lay aside our own wisdom and strength and merit and look only to Jesus Christ for righteousness, for help to serve Him, and for wisdom and discernment to know our duty in this world. We need His grace. Contrast Laodicea with Smyrna. Jesus says to that church, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Perhaps they were truly, literally, outwardly poor because they were willing to give up employment among the trade guilds because they weren't going to contribute to the worship of idols at the idol temple. And so they had to lose their jobs and they were left dependent upon the church or friends to support themselves. And so many of them might have been poor, literally poor. But Jesus says, I know your poverty, but, he says, thou art rich. They are rich in the grace of self-denial. They are willing to serve the Lord Jesus and go through tribulation in order to serve Him fully. Christ saw perhaps what they didn't see. They weren't boasting of all their accomplishments and their strength of grace. They were feeling quite poor, no doubt. But Jesus says they're actually rich. They're rich in faith and perseverance, patience in the ways of the Lord. Is this what we have? By the grace of God, true spiritual poverty. Conscious that we are very needy, that we have nothing of ourselves, therefore we need everything from God and His grace. What are some of the characteristics of the spiritually poor? Well, the spiritually poor feel their inability. And sometimes they feel so helpless they can't even overcome the smallest temptations. They feel they're failing at everything. People might look on the outside and think, oh, they're being quite consistent. They're not perfect, but they're making progress, they're persevering, but they themselves feel they're just falling short in almost everything. They might, as Jeremiah Burroughs puts it in his sermon on the text, they might come out of their chamber after reading and praying, they come out of their room and they see something amiss in the family, some unexpected problem happens, and they're easily, so easily, put out of frame. The temptation makes them discomposed. They feel flustered and impatient. Oh, how poor they are. They can't even overcome the smallest temptation without miserably failing. And so they're spiritually poor. They feel that they have so much to do for themselves and to seek the Lord and try to please him and keep his commandments, so much corruption in their own hearts to mortify, how can they even help others? It doesn't excuse them from seeking to be useful to others in the church, but still they often feel this. How can they benefit others when they are so weak and helpless in themselves and have so much work to do in themselves, in their own sanctification? The poor in spirit, they feel that all they do is mixed with sin. How can they perform any spiritual duty and please God when sin cleaves to their best performances in spiritual things? How thankful then they are for the intercession of Christ, that what they do for him is passes through Christ's intercession, and Christ's intercession removes all the defects of their spiritual exercises, and Christ presents it to God, as it were, in its spotless purity because of the intercession of Christ, washing away all the sin of it. The poor in spirit, they feel that their services are poor. What they do is so poorly done. They're saying, we are unprofitable servants. They're not boasting of their great achievements. They're not looking at their past and say, oh, look at all the wonderful accomplishments I have done. No, they're saying, what have I done? What have I done for the Lord? The poor in spirit often feel their grace is small, and sometimes so small they wonder if they have any grace. They're saying, where is the fruit? I'm so poor, I wonder if I have any grace at all. Because my grace is so little and I'm so weak, where is it? But you see, since they are so poor, and because grace is so small, they desire more grace. And like a poor person brought to lowly circumstances, having nothing, needing everything, they're reduced to poverty and begging. They go to their neighbors, knock on the door. They might hold out a pot to put for people to put money in. That's what they used to do in days gone by. And so they are begging because they're truly poor. We're not talking about people who just look like they're poor and they might be stealing. We live in a day where that happens indeed. But the beggars, they're truly begging because they're truly poor. Well, that's a picture of God's poor people. They're begging God at a throne of grace that he would provide for them what they need spiritually. So the poor in spirit are begging God, and that's a good thing. If our spiritual poverty is bringing us to pray earnestly, that's an evidence it's true spiritual poverty. And that we're not among those who are saying, well, I'm a poor sinner, what do you expect? So they live a life of sin. That's not at all what is being spoken of here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They're so needy, they feel they have nothing, and they're crying to God, knowing that God hears the poor. And that's an encouragement. The Lord is not ashamed of his poor people. He's not going to cast them away. He loves to hear their prayers, even though they think their prayers are so poor. He's ready to answer them. In fact, he promises them a kingdom. And that brings us to the second point, which is the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus blesses those who are poor in spirit. He's saying they are truly happy. Doesn't mean that they have no sorrow in their life and they never go through difficulties, but they are happy in the highest sense. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They have a kingdom even now. It's not something they have to wait for years and years later. They have a kingdom. They may not be blessed outwardly. They may not have many good things of this life, although God does promise to meet all our needs. He does bless us in outward things. But the blessing is the kingdom of heaven. It's a spiritual blessing, and the blessing has already begun in this life. The first stage of this blessedness is at present. They already possess the kingdom. They already have eternal life. That's what Jesus promises. If we believe in him, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He doesn't say shall have everlasting life, but hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life already. They have eternal life now. They have the kingdom now. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, cometh not with observation. He says to them, the kingdom of God is within you. So what is the kingdom of God? We were asking that question earlier among the children. Some said it's heaven. Some said it's the church. Well, first of all, it begins with the rule of Christ in our hearts. The rule of Christ in our hearts and lives. That's the kingdom of God within us. The kingdom of God also includes the blessings of the kingdom. And so if in our hearts we have recognized his authority and we value the blessings of the kingdom, we already are in the kingdom and the kingdom of God is in us. We have already the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. These blessings, life and salvation, forgiveness of sins, grace to help in time of need, these are begun riches. They are the riches of the kingdom that are already enjoyed in a measure. This is the grace of the kingdom. Again, as the commentator David Brown writes, the very sense of their poverty is begun riches. Your poverty is making you feel you have nothing. Oh, but that spiritual poverty is riches begun in your soul. God is already giving you the blessings of the kingdom by making you poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, the Beatitudes, the blessings naturally arise out of the qualities that are described. There's a natural connection between the character and the blessing. It's not arbitrarily or randomly, the blessing is not randomly given, but there's some suitableness of the blessing to the quality or grace that Jesus describes. So the meek, they're not outwardly, proudly conquering countries and committing acts of violence in order to gain more territory. They're meek. They're doing it God's way, and they have the whole earth for their inheritance. The merciful, what do they get? They get mercy. The mourners, they are comforted. The poor who are destitute, they don't even have a cottage to live in. They have the kingdom of heaven. They feel they have no merit, no wisdom, no grace. They have it all in Christ. He gives them the blessings of the kingdom. They are yours, child of God. You who are poor in spirit, he's giving you the kingdom of heaven. This makes you truly rich, even when you feel you have so little. Because to know your condition is to be truly rich. The poor in spirit, to quote the writer again, the poor in spirit are rich in the knowledge of their real case. You know you have nothing, therefore you're truly rich, because that knowledge is true blessedness, true riches. By the grace of God, you have been taught your true condition by nature, and that is worth more than gold, more than all the wealth of the world, to know yourself truly, such that it makes you cry to God for mercy. You're truly rich. And that's essential. Again, a true knowledge of ourselves is essential to salvation, making us know our need of Christ, making us seek him above all things, to trust in him for wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh, how thankful we should be for this spiritual poverty. It will make us thankful for the blessings of the kingdom. It prepares the way. It makes room for grace. And those who are poor in spirit, they are thankful for any grace. Thankful for the spark of grace, because it's from the God of heaven. They're not worthy of a crumb from the master's table. They're not going to despise others who are smiting themselves, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, they say, I know exactly what you mean. They're not going to look down on others who are brokenhearted because of their sins. I feel for you, is what the poor in spirit will say. And the poor in spirit, they will admire free grace. They will rejoice in that they are saved by grace alone. They're not quarreling with the fact that God saves sinners by the sovereign grace of God alone, that it's free, unmerited favor. They see all that they have of themselves as nothing but the filthy rags of their own righteousness, which they lay aside and look only to Christ. And how wonderful it is that Jesus assures them, fear not, little flock. You know that you're small in yourselves. You know that your congregation may be small. Your church is small. The kingdom of God is within you. It's not very outward and observable. It's small indeed, but the Father gives you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is going to expand and enlarge and cover the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. So the poor in spirit, they are truly rich. And that is seen in their faith. They know they have nothing of themselves. So what do? They look away from themselves to God, who alone can meet their need. And the more they see their destitution, the more they see their poverty, the more they see their emptiness, the more they're looking to the Lord for all that they need. The more they are trusting in Christ for their spiritual needs. So what does that mean? If they have faith, if they go on in faith, if they have lots of faith, it means they're rich in faith. Is that you? Is it me? There were some people who despised the poor. They thought the poor should stay way in the far back corner. The rich, they should be up in the front. They get all the attention. James is correcting them. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world? Look at the church. Who makes up the church? A lot of poor people. God has chosen the poor of this world. Ah, but what does he say? They're rich in faith. They are rich in faith. They're not trusting in themselves. They don't have any riches. They're looking to the Lord for everything that they need. Is that you and me today? Rich in faith. Because we feel we have nothing. We have to go to the Lord for everything. Others talk about all their attainments. They might have literal riches. They might feel they have strength. They have served the Lord. They really love the Lord. That's the way the modern Christian world talks so often. But whatever they have, it seems for the most part, it's just a delusion. Especially the outward riches, if that's what they're boasting of. Let us beware of that. We might be tempted by all the pleasures and riches of the world. It's an image. It's going to come crashing down. It's a dream that will fade away. God's people, they have true riches because they have true knowledge of their real condition. The people of the world, they don't know themselves. They're blind. They're deluded. We should feel sorry for them. Don't envy them. But pity these poor worldlings, full of themselves, full of the world, full of the pleasures of time and sense. And they have nothing. But those who are poor in spirit, it might be poor actually, outwardly, but are trusting in Christ, they're truly rich. How are they rich? Because God thinks upon them. He says in his word, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. He looks to you. He's not going to terrify you. He welcomes you. You're poor. You have nothing. But you tremble at his word. And you're broken in your heart because of your sins, God thinks upon you. He will comfort you. His eyes are upon you with love and pity and mercy. God hears the poor. You can find your own proof text for that. God hears the poor. The psalmist says in Psalm 86, verse 1, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. What is the argument he uses in prayer? For I am poor and needy. He's not saying that there's some worth in his poverty, but it's what God says in his word. He's looking to the promise, not himself. He knows that God hears the poor. That's why he's praying, hear me because I am poor. Not because I'm thinking so much of my poverty, but I think so much of thy wonderful promise that the Lord hears the poor. God prepares goodness for the poor. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. Those who have nothing of themselves, God has prepared goodness for the poor. We don't realize what God has laid up for us. But yes, those who have the kingdom of heaven, they have a wonderful king, merciful and compassionate, who gave us the laws of his kingdom, and they are good laws, and they are good for us. This king is ready to forgive our sins when we break his commandments and we come penitent, sorrowful. He's ready to pardon us. This king gives us the Spirit more abundantly than the saints of the Old Testament had. This is the king of his kingdom of heaven that never banishes his poor. He never expels them. He promises, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, how we should draw near to him. Yes, he promises wonderful things. He gives us many good things. The poor in spirit have the kingdom already. As Jeremiah Burroughs puts it, they have it now. There's not one person on the way to heaven who does not already now have heaven brought down to him. Jesus brings heaven down to earth in our souls. No, we're not in heaven yet, but heaven's in us. Let's pray for more of the experience of it, more assurance of his love, more peace of conscience, more communion with his people. That's heaven. It's heaven begun. Riches begun in our souls already. And the day will come when Jesus will say to his people who are poor on earth, he will say to them, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that is when they will enjoy the full experience of an already possessed inheritance. God's people will reign with Christ. They will be with Christ forever and ever. So, friend, if you today are mourning over the lack of grace, it's evidence you have grace. The complaint of the lack of grace shows you appreciate grace. You value it. And those who truly value grace have grace. Therefore, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're asking, where's the fruit? Oh, to bear fruit, I see nothing good in me. Well, you're poor in spirit. You have nothing of yourself. Is it not making you go to God for grace? Stirring you up at a throne of grace to seek his face and seek strength from the Lord? It's evidence that the Lord will give you just what you are craving in your soul. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Oh, what more assurance do we need? He gives us not only what we need, he gives us a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. The blessings of grace now, the blessings of glory hereafter. For those who cannot say they are poor in spirit, pray that your eyes will be opened to see your poverty, that you would feel you have nothing, feel the void, no merit, no righteousness, no ability to please God. You have nothing. Oh, but that's too humbling, minister. We need to come down, my friend. Acknowledge we have nothing, nothing. So pray that you would feel that, you would sense your poverty, but don't bring, this is helpful advice, I trust, don't bring the feeling of poverty to the Lord as a reason that God would favor you. Don't bring your feeling of nothing. That's bringing something to the Lord. And the danger is that we focus on our felt nothingness as some kind of merit to expect God to forgive our sins. No. True poverty makes us look directly to the Lord. We're not focused on our poverty. We're not focused upon our feelings of nothing. We're focused upon Christ. We're going to the Lord in his grace. There's no choice, no choice but to go to him for salvation, for forgiveness, for sanctification. So we're not relying on ourselves, and that's what we leave with you today. Look away from self. Look away from your feelings. Look only to Jesus. Look only to Jesus for salvation, for forgiveness, for pardon. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He laid aside his glory. He laid aside the riches of the blessedness of heaven. He came down to earth and he died on the cross for poor sinners like you, when we were yet without strength, having nothing. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Look only to him and you will be saved. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Lord God, in thy great grace, pity us. And give us grace. Give us the grace of faith. We have not that of ourselves. Oh, may thy Spirit work, and thou hast promised to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask thee. And so we pray thee, O gracious God, give us grace. Give us faith, that we would not look at faith. We would not look at self for our own righteousness, but look away from all to Christ alone and his wondrous grace and his infinite merit, that his precious blood would wash away all our sins and his righteousness would make us accepted in thy sight. Be with us, O Lord, now. Help us to honor thee and keep thy day holy, and pardon all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.